thought comes to mind is faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So Lord, open up our ears. I want to thank you for this vessel. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon him, Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. Lord, thank you for the word that you're about to bring us. Thank you, Jesus, for your glorious sacrifice. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Marty. very rich this morning in the sharing and the worship and the opportunity to be together. And I hope you experience that today while you're here, the richness of being together in community. This last week, I've sat at a couple of tables and celebrated some birthday parties. We've got some of those ones with the zeros after them. So, you know, Simon turned 40 this week. Hey, happy birthday, Simon. And then Tegan turns 30 tomorrow. I'm just, you know, putting everyone's business out there on the street, aren't I? But how good is that? She can't be here today. But we celebrate that. And one of those, when we were doing the cake, one of the things that intrigues me is this tradition that we've carried on for many years. We put these little things on the cake. We light them. We blow all over the cake. You know, we learned through COVID, didn't we? Suddenly, this is brought to our attention that we're doing that. But it's interesting process when you think about it. But it's the light that the candles give off. There's something about that, isn't there? Light is something that's important. It's significant. We celebrate birthdays with light. The lighthouse on the headland warns ships and boat traffic that there's dangers in a particular area. The campfire flickering at night. Who likes sitting around a campfire at night? I know you guys do fire night here. There's something about it, isn't it? Like it calms the soul. It tells the story just sitting there. The stars at night, if you've looked up, particularly when you're in the country, the stars just look so much closer. And it's like God just showing off his creation. The sunrise or sunset, the electric light that helps a uni student desperate to pass the exam the next day. They've got the light to study by. The landing lights, when you think about it, that, you know, countless amount of aircraft land at night with passengers on board just completely oblivious to the fact that without those lights, it wouldn't be such a smooth landing. We think about the child that feels safe at night when they have that light on in the room. Some of us adults do too. We feel safety in that. But light also played a significant part in the teaching we're going to bring today. And in particular, one of the Jewish festivals, there's three major or significant Jewish festivals where they would pilgrimage back to Jerusalem to celebrate. And one in particular was the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, it was it brought them together just like the Passover did. And we've talked about that particularly at Easter time. But it brought people together. But during the Feast of Tabernacles, there was a great ceremony called the Illumination of the Temple, right? So like Vivid in Sydney, they had their own festival many, many years ago when they would illuminate the temple. And this involved the ritual lighting of four golden oil lamps or candelabras. They were lit in the court of the women. They were four large candelabras, each holding four bowls, so it's like 16 individual bowls, right, across these four stands, 22 metres high in the air. You know, so when you think back in that era, technology, you know, wasn't what it was today. Like from here to there is only about 4 metres, 5 metres. So think about how high that was. Now, they would light these things, and the light was just let out this enormous light that not only would it light that part of the temple, but it actually light across Jerusalem. So they illuminated the temple and went across Jerusalem. Like I said, the Vivid of Sydney, but this event. And Jesus made his second I Am statements. Remember in the series talking about the I Am statements, Sam last week talked about I'm the bread of life. So we're in that season. And Jesus brought this statement to them the next morning, after the Illumination Festival, the next morning, when the man-made fire began to flicker and die, Jesus stood up and said these words. He said, Jesus spoke to all the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you'll have the light that leads to life. It's sort of that significant time, like Jesus just used the environment of the day to speak to the people about something they'd seen. They just witnessed this, they'd seen it, and all of a sudden he starts talking about light. Now, light is quite significant in Scripture. If you go back to the very, very beginning, in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, the earth was formless, mass cloak in darkness. And then out of God's mouth, he spoke, let there be light. And poof, there was light. Amazing. Amazing. There was light from the very beginning of creation. If you move through Scripture to Exodus, you know, Moses had a run-in with Pharaoh and disappeared off into the wilderness, lived out there for a bit. And then all of a sudden, God appeared to Moses in the form of a burning bush, a bush that didn't burn up. Through that light, God identified himself to Moses as I am. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I am their God. And through God calling Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, and when they finally got out of Egypt after that calling on Moses' life, God led them during the day with a cloud during the day and a fire to give them light at night, which that is then replayed in this Feast of Tabernacles. It was a remembrance of God leading the people in the wilderness. Moving into Jesus' birth story, and in the beginning of Luke, we hear about Simeon, an old prophet who welcomes baby Jesus when his parents bring him to the temple. And they say, for my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people in Israel. If you move to the book of John, where we're going to rest today, the writer introduces Jesus using unique poetry language, depicting Jesus as a source of light and of life. And Jesus makes this I am statement, you know, similar but different in two different contexts. And I want to just explore that a little bit this morning. And it's important that we see the significance of those two applications. The first, that is, Jesus is the light that leads to life. And if you're following along with the handout that's on your sheet, there's some blanks to fill out. There's the answer, right? We will have an exam after this. But there's the answer up on the screen. Jesus is the light that leads to life. As mentioned, Jesus spoke at the Feast of Tabernacles to this ceremony. And the Jewish writings from that time tell us that these candles produce so much light that it pierced the darkness in the city of Jerusalem. It pierced that whole area. Jesus addresses these words to a hostile Jewish leaders at the time who wanted to destroy Jesus for what he was claiming. Their closed minds put them in spiritual darkness. Let's face it, who wants to see things change? Change is difficult sometimes, yeah? We find it quite difficult to navigate change. And the older we get, the harder it can be. But they were closed off to that. But in hearing this and from hard hearts, they strongly reacted to Jesus. They strongly opposed him. They said, you are giving false testimony. You're wrong. You're wrong for what you're saying. The law of the temple of God's light in the word, and we're the custodians and we hold on to that strong belief. You know, we're holding on to that. Yet, Jesus was still challenging their thinking, for it was no longer in the temple or by keeping the law that people would find the light and life, but only by following Jesus. There's a shift and a change coming. It's like coming to church and comparing ourselves, Christians, to a car. If I was a car and I stood in the garage, that's not going to make me into a car. I could stand there and think all I want. I want to be a car, but it's not going to do that. It's like coming to church. You know, it doesn't make us a Christian by coming to church. We need to follow Jesus as part of that. It's good to come together, and I encourage you to come together. I don't discourage that part, because I think when we're surrounded by others, we grow. You know, iron sharpens iron. That scripture where we learn from each other and we encourage each other and we get equipped to head out. But there's action that's actually needed. In these words, Jesus anticipates the end of what was, and he confronts the leader. Just like lockdowns and COVID and all that history that we've all been through, suddenly it was confronting the Jewish leaders' way of life. Suddenly what they've sold themselves out for was about to change, and it was a real struggle. Losing something can be painful. So first of all, Jesus is the light that leads to life. And the second statement, Jesus is the light to all who believe. In John 9, it's recorded, the night is coming and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus come to shed light into their space. The second time Jesus says, I am the light of the world, these words are found in the context of a healing of a man born blind. And in this this narrative, blindness and sight are not only seen as a horrible physical disability in the one man, but more importantly as a spiritual disability affecting all people that only see Dr. Jesus, the great physician who can heal. But Jesus had so much more to offer. Yes, he healed, and that was amazing, but he had so much more to give. Giving sight to the blind who had been born blind was truly a supernatural miracle when we think about it. Get this for a second. It involved creating new tissue, nerves and blood vessels, and giving the brain the ability to interpret the variations in light impacting the cortex. That's what Jesus did in that moment. Only God could do that sort of miracle, right? Only he could do that sort of miracle. John's account of this miracle is a sermon of its own. But today we want to only consider why, in this context, Jesus spoke of himself as the light of the world. The answer is seen in the climax of this story when Jesus calls on the man who had been healed to believe in him. Jesus says to him, I came into the world so that those who do not see may see. Not only for him was a physical thing, but also a spiritual thing as well. The healed man shows the physical and spiritual healing that had taken place when he responds with, I believe. When I believe. The physical miracle was stupendous, but in the dark world, breaking spiritual blindness is the greater miracle. And only the grace of God can give sight to the blind in that way. Only the touch of Jesus can lead to faith. I want to give you three ways that we can live this out, that we can live out these scriptures that we've covered today. And that is, stay connected to the source. We live in a day in an over-connected world to some degree. Everything now that we own requires charge, right? You know, you go home at night, you've got to find that special cable that you plug into that phone. And if that disappears, then, you know, your world falls apart. Then all of a sudden you go to vacuum the floor, you forgot to plug that in overnight, so you can't vacuum the floor. And now even your car, you can't go for a drive unless you plug, well, if you've got one of them, I haven't, but you know what I mean? It's all about this whole connected thing. So we get that language, right? To get connected to the source. Unless we connect into the source, then we can't run, we can't do what we're intended to do. We are not the source. He is the source. We are not the source. He is the source. We try to be self-sufficient. We try to be the source. I try to be the source. But he's the source that we need to plug into. Otherwise, we continue to run on empty. We need to be connected to the source. Because we are not the light of the world. But Jesus is. He imparts that light in us. On our own, we can't produce light. And there's some ways we can learn about that. If you go, okay, what can I do about that? Here at Longevity Salvos, we have class one where we can do take you through Christianity Explained and have that time to be able to explore that even further. And I'm going to sound like I'm giving a few plugs today, but write it on your care card and then we can follow up with that. That's number one. Secondly is intentionally live in the light. Intentionally live in the light. While we can plug ourselves into the source, we need to choose to stay connected to the source. Return to the source like a mobile phone on a daily basis for that recharge, for that extra hit. We don't want to we don't want to miss out on that. We need to choose each day to do that. I heard a prayer, I was reading I got a Bible app on my phone, and one morning I engaged with this week, and the verse has come up simply, pray continuously. Well, that's not very helpful on a few more words than two words, right? Pray continuously. The thought of, closing your eyes, bowing your heads, continually to pray all day and all night is not that attractive to me to do it like that. But the person who'd made a comment on this said it was like when her kids, her daughter, was in a relationship with this guy, and what they would do together was spend all day being connected. It was a continual conversation. They'd call each other, even if they weren't talking on the phone, they were sort of together from a distance and have conversation. I remember when we first started dating, we were some 5.5 hours away from each other for 2 years, something like that. And quite often you have very, very long conversations, or you just ring back here and there and everywhere else in the day. That continual conversation. And I see that word of, you know, pray continuously like that. We don't have to leave the conversation. We don't have to hang up the phone. You can actually leave the phone connected. And throughout the day, we can invite Jesus into those spaces and remind him and talk to him and pray to him as we go about life. A continual conversation. That's an opportunity to promote class two, our discipleship explain. Write that on your care card if you want to be part of that. And I'm serious, like if that's something you want to do, follow up with that as well when we run them. And 30, live by shining your light. Jesus doesn't just call us to connect to the light, to live in that, but to share what he has given us. I heard a sermon by Louis Giglio, someone who really is into astronomy. I rely on other people in that space. I know the stars are up there. They're amazing to look at, but I don't know all the details. I couldn't even find the Southern Cross. Sorry. But he would often preach and he would talk about comparing us to the moon. He says the moon doesn't produce any light of its own, but it rather reflects the light from the sun. Similarly, we cannot produce light on our own. Sure, we can give clever speeches or persuasive words, but the true light we reflect is the light of Jesus, of his work in us. Sometimes that's why I like the sharing time we have here, because we can hear about the light coming through people's lives, the challenges that are in their life as well, and pray for them. But we can hear that, the work of Jesus in someone's life is what really stands out to us. We're called to reflect the light to our community, to bring our community home. That's an opportunity for class three. I talked to Damien about that and we've already heard about it. Going to ask the team to come up and we're going to just worship in a moment. But Jesus said in Matthew this, it says, "You are the light of the world. A town cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Scripture you probably or may have heard before. It's not probably new, but that's us. Jesus gives us the light to take it into those places that we go, into those communities, into those spaces. And this is what he's calling you to do, to reflect his light to those around us. I wonder today if maybe the light's a bit dull, maybe you've turned down the dimmer, maybe flick the switch off, you need to re-engage with that. And that might be an opportunity to do that this morning. Darkness can certainly make uncertain and fearful, yeah? Being in the darkness. Light and darkness are powerful, symbolic ideas, but Jesus takes these powerful symbolic terms and uses them to speak of his ministry, because he's come to dispel the darkness in our life, dispel that darkness, to connect into the source, to do that if we follow him. So maybe you need to sit with the giver of life and ask him to illuminate your life again, to plug in. Maybe you've unplugged for a bit, a bit drained and need to get that recharge, or maybe you're not sure how to shine your life. There might be an opportunity to ask him, "Jesus, how am I going to shine my light this week in the situations I find myself in?" You can do that, and you've got the back of the sheet. You can write that down, how you want to respond this morning. You can always come and pray, or we can just worship. We can sing to the giver of light and ask his light to shine our lives. Just take a moment to do that this morning, shall we? To look up to the giver of light and to see what he wants to do. Let's do that.